And guess what? We as a church, we get to do this. Isn't that a blessing? You that are part of the children's church, you young ones want to go on out, you guys can do that. Just want to let them see, let them be a part of what we do here. But yeah, I love graduations. When you have graduates, and we got new people that come in, you got to work with new, and you kind of start all over again. And it's a hard ministry. But it's worth it, and it is good. It is good. Well, I want to thank you all. I took a week's vacation, and when I was out for two Sundays, I was actually out two Sundays here, but I took a vacation for one Sunday, because one Sunday I was in St. Joe Community Church, thanking them as partners up there in Fort Wayne. But it feels good to me that I can take some time off. This is the first time I actually took time off and didn't really need to make any phone calls. Maybe made one or something or two. But I didn't get a lot of bombarding phone calls. It was probably the best time that I've had, that I just didn't get a lot of phone calls and a lot of problems. And I felt comfortable going, and I felt good. And I thank you guys for doing that, making my life easier. And the guys were preaching. I listened to Phil Fisher's on Wednesday, so I got to see those who watch online, like some of you are this morning. Got to watch from that viewpoint and watched it from there, and that was good. And it was just good to know that is there any problems back in a New Life? Nope, everything's running good. And that's the first time, I think it's the first time, honestly, that I can say that I actually got some time to breathe. So I thank you all for that, and I'm not going to wait so long to do it again. So, because I feel, yeah. So, but there's a lot going on in New Life. There really is. And we're going to get back to the board here soon. I want to get through Palm Sunday today. And I want to get through Easter, not pushing or rushing them, but to celebrate that. And then we're going to be kicking back into this, you know, evangelism and those kind of things. And be in prayer also, before I forget, be in prayer for Redland that's coming in. Pastor Jay, I've checked him out online. He's a character. He'll be preaching that Wednesday night here. So I'm looking forward to that. That's the Wednesday after Easter. So they'll be here. They'll be worshiping with us. Their worship team's going to worship with us, so it should be good. And they're also going to run the meal ministry as well. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? It's good to be back with you. And, boy, I'll tell you what. If you're not focused on what the Lord is doing, you're not focused in His Word, I'm telling you, the world's going to drift. You're going to drift quick. It's not going to be a slow drift or a slow fade. It's going to be quick. So there's so many people, so many things trying to speak into your life and into your ears. And you need to be listening to the Word of God. You need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. There's so much out there, even from good things. You got to be careful not to be swayed, because even something that's good can take you from the thing that is great. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of John. Jesus, as we heard the scripture here, Jesus was in the garden and He was praying, and now Jesus has been arrested. And now He stands before Pilate. And Pilate's going to ask a question. But I want to read in here, a little bit here, in John chapter 18. If I titled this message, it'd be, "What is the truth? What is truth? What is truth?" Today, we're hearing all kinds of people speaking about what they believe truth is. I believe this is truth. I believe that's truth. I believe this is truth and that's truth. I want to tell you, when you're not sure what to do, go back to the Word of God. It'll tell you what to do every single time. Chapter 18, verse 37, it says, Pilate therefore said to him, he's talking to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" Because he said, "Hey, are you a king? Are you a king?" And Jesus answered, he said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I come. I have come to the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. I find no fault in him." Pilate's trying to get him free in some sense. He's trying to get him free, but his question is, "What is truth? What is the truth?" I want to tell you, one of those truths is this: that all Bible prophecies about Jesus are true. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 will tell you, the scripture about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And it lists some things. 700 years later, Jesus is walking. He walks into the synagogue there on the Sabbath, and he picks up the scroll and he reads the very same scripture. Here it is. This is what he says. And Luke 4, verse 15. He reads everything the same. He reads everything the same. Everything the same except for one thing. One thing he leaves out. And I didn't mark my Bible, so here it is. One thing. He says this, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to the acceptable year of the Lord. Here's the part he did not read. He did not say, because he said everything else today, this prophecy is fulfilled in Luke. But this is the end of the verse that he did not say. In the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. And the day of vengeance is not here yet. But he read that scripture and said, today this scripture is fulfilled. But he read it all the way up to the very, very end, but he did not include that piece. Another truth is that all people and all people are sinners. We don't like to talk about sin. But many times when I'm preaching, I see preaching in there, and sometimes it always seems like sin is always coming in. Of course, I've been criticized from time to time that all I talk about is sin, but we have a sin problem. Now I have a sin problem. We have a sin problem. But all people are sinners. Why? Because the Bible is truth. For all fall short. For all sinners. For all short. All fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. But also I know another truth in God's word is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. God loves people. That is a truth. Pilate says, what is truth? Well, this is truth. Pilate didn't get it. He didn't get it. But he asked for the truth, but he didn't get it. Truth is that God loves people. Another truth is Jesus is God's Son. Whether they out there believe it or not, Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is God's Son. That is truth. You don't have to believe something for it to be true. This is true. He said, what is truth? And we need to know the truth as believers. We need to get more into the Word of God on our own times. But that wasn't the end of this. Because this was all dealing with Jesus. And I want to tell you, there's a nasty crowd out there. We're back in John chapter 18, verse 39. He says, but you have a custom. Pilate comes out and says, you have a custom. You Jews have a custom. That I should release someone to you at the Passover. And this one remind you that the Passover deals all back the way to Egypt. You see, let me tell you, you need the Old Testament. There's a run out here right now telling us, there's a group of people telling us that we don't need the Old Testament. We need the New Testament and we need the Old Testament. But there's a group telling us we don't need the Old Testament. We're talking about the Passover. That's Old Testament, right? Right, Mike? That's Old Testament, right? That's Old Testament. He says, you have a custom. He says, do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And before he could finish, it says, then they all cried out again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Another scripture tells us he was a rebel. He was a murderer. He was in a group that did some very nasty things. And that's why he's in prison. They want a prisoner. That's what they want. Many people given a good choice still won't take that good choice. Do you know that? You offer somebody a choice. Same thing at the Women's Life House. You offer them an opportunity. So there are more women that you'll never meet than you meet. And a lot of women that come in, they'll make a phone call, or they'll call and they'll say, hey, or they'll come in and they'll do the interview and they go, nope, I got to go. One, I don't want the rules. I don't want to get up at 7. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to go to church. I want to do my thing. I want to do my thing. Well, let me tell you, I always say this, little lady, if your way was working, you wouldn't be here. Now, if you want to go out and keep doing your way, you just go out and do your way. But this is a different way. This isn't a perfect way, but it's a different way. And you have a choice. But a lot of people don't want the right choice. They'd rather go out and live that other life. They choose, we sometimes choose darkness over light. It's true. People, there are people out there choosing right now today to choose to live in darkness rather than live in the light. Some people justify their sin. They don't care. They justify their sin. That it's okay. It's okay to listen, this whole thing about marijuana, I don't care if it's legalized or not. It messes with your mind. And the Bible says, for God did not give you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of... Yeah? Y'all know where I'm going, right? The last part of that. And a sound mind. When you're on anything, you do not have a sound mind. Something else is clicking and changing your mind, and your mind is warped, and it's doing things that you normally wouldn't do, or think about things you normally wouldn't think, and you're not in your right mind. I don't care if they legalize it or not. But people will justify it. It's legal. We have a state that legalizes prostitution. Does it mean it's right? No. But that state chooses to make it legal. Some people choose to do sinful things without the conscience. They don't worry about the outcome. They worry about what's in the moment. They're in the moment. You're in the moment. This is what happens when you grow from your 20s into your 30s and 40s and your 50s. The 60s, you get a little smarter and you start thinking more about outcomes, about decision making. Because decision making is very, very important. We have concern about the outcome. A lot of people don't. But I want to remind you also that there are people that are trying to find a way through. Never forget that. There are people that are trying to find a way to get through. But there is that crowd that we hear so much. Anything about Jesus, we don't want it. Anything about God, we don't want it. Anything about church, we don't want it. We don't want that. That's offensive to me. It's not really that Jesus is offensive to them. It's just that their sins bounce right back on them. And they know that it's wrong. And that's what Jesus is. It comes off. Because he's pure light. So they choose Barabbas. We choose darkness. We refuse the light. We refuse him. But what happens? Chapter 19, verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Jesus got a beat down for being pure and good. You're going to take some licks for doing the right thing. It's not going to be like this. There are some, but Scripture is going to tell us there was none like him that did this. But you can take some licks. You know, let me just tell you, pause for a moment. There are guys, I know there's called this jailhouse reform or whatever, but let me just tell you about some guys that are in prison, women are in prison. Listen, there are some that do come to Christ. Amen? Satan really attacks them. They are really they're trying to share the gospel in a place because they messed up in the world and they're still in there. And people look at them on the outside being bad and being very sinful and they're just no good for life. That's not true. They're still trying to do a ministry in there and they're being attacked. You need to keep them in prayer. Just because someone goes to jail doesn't mean that we write them off. Amen? Because some of you got family members there. All right? Okay? But let me read something out of Isaiah. This is a prophetic piece as well. Isaiah 52:14 says, "Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form was marred beyond human likeness." Once Jesus was done with being flogged and scourged and had that beat down, if you didn't know him, you didn't know him. you couldn't recognize him. It was when they brought him back out, he was unrecognizable. You wouldn't know it was him. Everybody, listen, he didn't get beat up by one or two guys. He got beat up by a lot of these soldiers. And let me tell you something about soldiers. Soldiers, if they don't fight, it's been a while since they fight, they like to fight. That doesn't even, and of course the whips and all the stuff that he got and the big beating that he got. The 40 minus one. I mean, he just got so much of a beatdown. The Bible says that he was going to get one, and he knew that. But this was the cost. This was the truth. Verse 6, it says, therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they saw him. After what he looked like, they saw him. They were not satisfied. Looking at all the blood dripping in his face and all the his open cuts and slashes on his back and on his chest, his legs. As much as he was open, they were not satisfied with the beating. They yelled, crucify. The Bible says they cried out. They yelled, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Basically, we got him against the ropes. We're tired of him teaching in the synagogues and out in the streets. We're tired of him healing on Sundays. Listen, the crowd, this crowd was these priests, these Sadducees, the religious group. And the Pharisees. It was all the religious hoo-ha guys. They didn't want him in there because they threatened. He was a threat to them. They yelled, crucify him, crucify. Let me tell you, this is exactly where Satan wanted it to be. What do you think? We don't see his name in here, but he's in here. If you know the works, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give life and give it more abundantly. But Satan come to steal. He came to kill and destroy this whole plan of salvation. To steal any hope, to kill the Son of God, and destroy any hope of salvation for human, any human, humankind. But he says, I have come to give life, to give it more abundantly. But there are people that refuse it. There are people that refuse it. First Corinthians 15:55. If we use hammer and nails today, this is not really, it's about Jesus going to the cross, but it wasn't. It was, as Jesus said, it was finished. But death couldn't take care of it. Death couldn't do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15:55 says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the glory, gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came so that we might be free. What is the truth? The truth is you don't have to choose a life of darkness. That Jesus offers us a hope, then you don't have to choose a life of darkness. But let me just remind you of this. Salvation is the greatest gift of all. Forgiveness is amazing. But don't you take that forgiveness and use it and say, well, I got my own little sin over here and God knows me, and this is my little pocket where I screw up all the time, and he's going to be okay with it because I just go back and I ask for forgiveness, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to be this great mighty Christian, but when I feel the need, I'm going to go over here and do this. Let me tell you something, you're in bondage. I know that hooks a lot of us. I know it does. I know it hooks a lot of us. In the book of John, it says, in the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Without that bondage. So you got to fight a little harder. You got to take a few more licks sometimes. You got to pray a little bit harder. But I'm telling you, you don't have to choose the life of darkness and the life of sin. You don't have to do that anymore. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. No, you're still going to mess up. But I'm telling you, you don't have to choose a life, that life of darkness and sin. You don't have to live in darkness. You don't have to choose it, and you don't have to live in it. You don't have to live in it. This story is brutal. This story is ugly and it's messy. It's got a lot of blood. It's got a lot of anger for the soldiers. It's got a lot of hatred for the crowd. And all those people wanted to crucify soldiers, beating on them, all of that stuff. But still, what was shining greater than all? For God so loved the world. All the darkness in the world can be in one place. Yet God's love shines and pushes it out. Can we say thank you, Lord, for that? The story is brutal because we're brutal. I'm ugly at times. And you're messy at times. This is why we need Jesus. This is the exact reason why he went through this, so that we didn't have to. So that we can live a life outside of darkness. And you can live in darkness and you can make it in darkness. You really can, but you can't do it without Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, you can make good decisions. You possibly can, but you'll not make the right decisions. Sometimes good is masked. Sometimes darkness and bad decisions are masked by something that is good. Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is my only hope. And he is your only hope. And he's the only hope for everybody out there. That's it. There is no other way. You can't live a life in this world. And it's getting messier and it's getting darker. But I need to shine brighter. Amen? You need to shine brighter. This church needs to shine brighter, not for our glory, but for his glory. And I know this, the more energy you put into a light bulb, the brighter it gets or whatever. Not an electrical person. But I know this, the more I live my life for Jesus, the more light shines off me. The more light that shines out of Jesus in this church, the more light shines into the community. So it pierces into that darkness. And I want to tell you this, crowds don't usually make good decisions. Most crowds, world crowds, do not make good decisions. All it takes is a couple to say, yeah, let's go. Everybody just goes. The people in general are like lambs. We just follow. We follow. Crowds don't make good decisions. This crowd certainly didn't. But I want to remind you that sometimes there are good crowds. On Palm Sunday, when Jesus was coming in, there was a great crowd. Blessed Hosanna. It's a good crowd. Some people think it's the same people. I don't think it's always the same people. I think those people were figuring out. They were loving on the Lord. This crowd was hating on the Lord. The ones that, you go back and you read that, those that were hating on the Lord that were there, they were in the background saying, what's he doing? Look at all this. That's a good crowd. Some people say it's both the same crowd. I don't believe it's the same crowd. So I make my choices every day to live in a way that puts a smile on God's face. I try to. But I bet you're like me. Sometimes we just mess it up. We mess the day up. We had a great morning and we messed up the afternoon. We had a great day and we messed up in the night. Oh, we had a great morning and that didn't last long. But let me just tell you, you can go to the Lord and you can get it fixed right there and then. Not just ask him about forgiveness, it's a repenting, which means you turn away from it. And I'm telling you, the more you do that thing, that little pocket thing that we have sometimes over here on the side, we shouldn't have, the more you do it, you can go back and you confess it, but I'm telling you, the more you do it, the more heavier the hand of God will be upon you, and conviction by the Holy Spirit. To a point where it's going to be so heavy, he's going to make you deal with it. Amen? You all know what I'm talking about? You're going to have to deal with it. You got to deal with it. Some people say, well, that's just my thorn in the side. Be careful when you say that. Be careful when you say that. Go back in scriptures and really read what the scripture really means. It's your choice. You want truth or not? Pilate says, what is truth? Some people today are asking, what is truth? I don't know what to believe. Well, I want to tell you, there are many, many, many Christians in the world today. We ought to be speaking truth with people that we know and who we don't know. We need to be taking every opportunity to share the gospel with those who we do know and those who we don't know. We don't beat Jesus over the head, but we share Jesus. When the door of opportunity comes, we take it. What is truth? The truth is this. I know that I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The truth is, I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The truth is, God knows my name. The truth is, I know that I'm a child of God. The truth is, I know that I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You see, what happens when you come to Christ, everything changes. Your titles and names and all the things that you do, you are changed. You go from one category to lost to saved. And when you're saved, there's expectations from you. Don't worry, you can't do them without Jesus. And you don't want to do them without Jesus, and you can't do them without the Holy Spirit. God takes care of all those expectations. It's a fun life. It's a good life. But the world don't like it. Evil don't like it. Satan don't like it. He's there to snuff it out. He's there to kill, steal, and destroy what you have with Christ. He can't steal your salvation. He can't. But what he does is tries to steal your joy in the Lord. How many of y'all need to restore your joy in the Lord? Going back to the crucifixion of Jesus always brings us back to, wow, this is what the cost was for my salvation. This is how much Jesus loves me. This is how much Jesus was committed to the Father's will. This is how much God loves me. Who am I? I'm all those things that I just mentioned. And much, much more. And in heaven, God does all this stuff. There awaits me a home. I'm no longer a citizen of this world, but a foreigner passing through. I've got a future that's everlasting. I got a hope that's everlasting. I got a salvation that's everlasting. Darkness is just for a moment, and I've got to deal with it when I get on across that path. It doesn't consume me. But in the world, darkness consumes everything. If your life isn't right with Christ, then there's some darkness in your life. Satan's doing some work in your life. Darkness is doing some work. If your life is where it needs to be with the Lord, then you need to probably be doing some more praising God. This is what these scriptures do. They lift us, remind us, and lift us up, lift our hearts up, say, man, Lord, I haven't read all that in a while. Yes, you are awesome. You are all about truth. There is none other like you. And folks, there is none other like Jesus Christ. There is none other. He is the way. I've been blanking out today, hoping you're going to fill in my blanks today. He's the way, the truth, and life. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of getting your life right with Christ. Today is the day to let truth reign in your life, to let truth come out of your life, to be all that God's called you to be. Victoria's life wouldn't change if she didn't get right with the truth. And your life can't change if you don't get right with the truth. Father, as we come to close on this service and this message this morning, I pray your Spirit has moved upon the hearts of us as a group and as individuals. And that during this time of invitation, Lord, whatever you'd have, Lord, for each one of us, that we would follow in your will. Be with us this morning as we listen to make a choice. Whether to follow the truth, yes or no. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.